The following is a Sunday Feast lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on December 17th, 2006, in New Govardhan, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, today, we are taking this very auspicious opportunity to enter into transcendence, the transcendental platform. In this material world, we try to be happy in so many ways, by accumulating some money, by gathering some friends around us, in so many ways, by some knowledge, different ways we try to be happy. But just as a lotus leaf exudes a waxy substance, so that any water that comes on it just rolls off, this material happiness is like that. It just rolls off. You can't really keep it. But we, the living entities, actually desire happiness that cannot be taken away by anything. We desire permanent happiness, you see. So there's an incompatibility there, you see. This is the problem. So how to overcome that incompatibility? Just like in our relationships, incompatibility is a big problem. We're looking for compatible relationships that don't break, you see. So we also need compatibility existentially as well. We need to find a happiness that doesn't break by any circumstance. So this happiness is called Krishna consciousness. That happiness, that existential happiness, which is in which there's no incompatibility, you see. So how does one achieve it? I mean, is it available at the grocery store? You know, can you get it on the internet? How do you get this thing, Krishna consciousness? We have to go to a person who has it. Because you can't invent it on your own. Actually, Krishna consciousness, or that state of enlightened consciousness, is already there within each and every one of us. It's not something that has to be thrown together, manufactured, concocted, imagined, or anything like that. You already have it. We already have the greatest treasure. Just imagine if you had a treasure worth $10 trillion buried in your backyard. Certainly we would like to know which corner of the backyard is it in. Let me dig that up, that $10 trillion. So we have that fortune. We have that unlimited opulence that is there within this very minute. None of us are poor. Each and every one of us has unlimited wealth, unlimited opulence. But we become like paupers in this material existence, suffering birth, death, old age and disease, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. We simply need to find that way to know who we actually are and how to be who we actually are. What we are teaching here is not some cult. It is simply a formula. How to know who you are and how to be who you are. Will any gentlemen object to knowing who He is. My dear sir, I would like to tell you who you are. No, I don't want to hear. Would any sane man object to finding out who is, what is his actual identity? My dear sir, you have unlimited wealth. You have unlimited opulences. You simply have to find out who you are. Who would say, no, no, I don't want to hear about it. Any sane man, sane woman, if given the opportunity to actually find out that they have unlimited, that they're in their actual identity, they have unlimited opulence, who would object? No, no, I'd rather just remain in ignorance. No, everyone would like. So, this is what we learn from bona fide guru, the spiritual master. He reconnects us with ourselves. He reignites our original, eternal identity by His mercy. And when that happens, when you actually get an awakening of your eternal identity, it's the most awesome, incredible experience. Wow! You actually reconnect with your eternal nature. That's the most exciting, enlivening experience you could ever have. The most thrilling experience. To actually get a glimpse of who you really are beyond this rotting body. Sorry, but you know, we try to enjoy it, we try to make it beautiful, but you know, ultimately it just falls apart in due course of time. That is not our platform of enjoyment. We try to make it that way. We live in a culture where every billboard, every television show, every advertisement simply say, yes, you are that body, you are male, you are female, you are Australian, you are American, enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. We try so hard to do that, but you know, just like Mick Jagger said, I can't get no satisfaction. Running here, running there, smoking this, smoking that, can't get no satisfaction. This place cannot give satisfaction because this is not our actual identity. If we want real, genuine illumination, if we want real, genuine jubilation, you see, free from lamentation, confusion, and delusion, then we require the help of a person who has realized this knowledge. If we have such a person to help us, the Lord's devotee, you see, the one who has awakened his eternal or her eternal divine consciousness, if we can have the association of the Lord's devotee, then by that wonderful contact, that magical presence, actually, of a transcendental personality, then we can actually have spiritual enlightenment, genuine spiritual enlightenment. And nowadays it's very hard to find that. Spiritual enlightenment has become very cheap nowadays. Money-making business. But to find that genuine awakening of the eternal identity of the living entity, to actually realize who you are, who you really are, beyond this temporary movie being displayed on the screen called Mahatattva, is it? To actually find out who you really are, when the movie comes to an end and they turn off the lights, the cinema house, and the end of the day, who you really are. You see. That requires a very special person a bona fide spiritual master, who has realized the truth and can show it to you also. So I was most fortunate. Many of us have been fortunate. We had the contact of such a spiritual master. His Divine Grace, Om Vishnupad Padamahamsa Parivajakacharya Astatarasada Shishima Esi Bhaktivadanta Tridandi Go Swami Maharaj Prabhupada. It's very rare the world sees such a caliber of spiritual master. Generally, spiritual master, they're in the village, they have some disciples in the village. But here we see spiritual master who is empowered to enlighten the entire world, to uplift the global consciousness in every corner of the world. Where have we seen such a spiritual master? So the magic touch of such an enlightened personality completely transforms the consciousness from matter to spirit. One gives up the false conception that I'm male, I'm female, I'm middle-aged, I'm old-aged, I'm young-aged. One gives up these things. No matter how nice our material situation may appear to be, it is simply a trick. Simply a trick. Simply a trick. Do not be fooled by the trick of Maya into thinking that this combination of material elements can be actually enjoyable. It cannot be. It is not possible. Actual enjoyment comes when we awaken that original consciousness of the living being. Jivera Sarupahoy Krishnara Nityadas. The constitutional position of the living entity is that he is the eternal servant of the supreme, all-attractive personality of Godhead, Krishna. Now some people object. Why you say Krishna? Why not this? Why not them? Oh, you're a sectarian. Krishna, you're bringing Krishna. But God has a name. Actually, God has unlimited names. They say you cannot give any name to the Supreme, because then you are limiting Him. But is it not a limitation to say, no, the Supreme cannot have a name? Isn't that a limitation? If some child is born, the parents say, we don't want to limit our child, we're not going to give him a name. He has to go through his whole life saying, well, I don't have a name. My parents didn't want me to be limited. That is limitation. No name. You see? That is limitation. So how they can say that giving God, that addressing the Lord by name is limitation? That is not limitation. To say he has no name, he cannot be called by any name, that is limitation. God has unlimited names. So, why Krishna? Why we say Krishna? Why not? Well, one thing is, unlimited names, you'll never say all of them. You have to just say some of them. We can never say all the names of God. It's not possible. In India, many people chant Vishnu Sahasranam, 1,000 names of Vishnu, but that's only the tip of the iceberg. There's thousands and millions, billions, quadrillions, quintillions, sectillions, zillions and zillions of names for the Supreme. So that's why the name Krishna is especially good. Because each and every name of the Supreme is like a diamond. Just imagine a diamond with unlimited facets. Each facet is one of the attractive qualities of that diamond. So if we bring diamond with unlimited qualities, you see, unlimited facets, that is God. Rough analogy, very rough analogy. So if we can bring one name which describes that God in that understanding, that person who has unlimited attractive qualities, you see. Each name for the Supreme is a different attractive quality. Ram, Bhagavan, Nrsingha, you see. Even other names in other traditions, Allah, Christ, Jehovah, you see, different names for the Supreme. Each name is a certain attractive quality. God, the Lord, so many, millions and billions. But if we can bring one name, which according to Sanskrit language, is all-inclusive name, and includes every single name of God within it, that name is very, very, very powerful. So, and it is confirmed also in scriptures. If you chant the name Vishnu 1,000 times, you can say the name Ram once and get the same benefit. You can say Ram 3 times, Ram, 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 or you can say Krishna 1 time, you see, and get the same benefit. So you can say 3,000 names of Vishnu, or you can just say Krishna. So our initiated disciples in our movement, they will chant Krishna's name every day in the japa beads. How many times? Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Yeah. 4 times, so it's around. How many is that time? 4 times 16 is 64 times 60. So many times every day. We chant the Maha Mantra, what is it, 1,000, I forget the count, the mathematics, but 4 times 108 would be 540 times 16. So that many times we utter the name Krishna every day in our prayer beads. And each utterance is as good as 3,000 names of Vishnu. So you can imagine the accumulated Shakti for one who chants every day at least 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra. Incredible Shakti, Bhakti Shakti, transcendental energy is there for those who focus their mind on chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we encourage anyone who is eager to advance themselves to the transcendental platform beyond all the quagmire-ish, nightmarish conditions of material existence. We encourage them to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is a very, very powerful system of delivering the consciousness from everything which drags it down. We are actually eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. That's our actual position. Eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge. But instead of taking that position, what are we taking? Temporary, full of ignorance and misery. Is that stupid or is that stupid? We're being, you know, we on one hand, eternity, knowledge and bliss, on the other hand, temporality, ignorance and illusion. But due to the conditioning of the material society, again and again and again, we opt for temporality, ignorance and illusion. We are pulled to engage in activities which lock us in to temporality, ignorance, and illusion. So this is why a disciplined system, yoga system, is very important. Just like if you want to get a college degree, a disciplined system, enrolling in the university is required. Years of hard work is required to get a university degree. So, in a similar way, we have to discipline ourselves if we actually want to become spiritually enlightened. It's not some cheap thing where, you know, you just go to the spiritual master and he hugs you or something and puts his hand in your head and now you're enlightened. You don't have to do anything. You have to work. Prabhupada said the tongue must work. We have to work the tongue every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We have to work the mind also. The mind is lazy. The mind is like a little child in the beginning. It wants to go running here and there, looping the loop around the Milky Way, you know, coming here, going there. But say, okay, mind, playtime is over. Now it's time to get serious. It's time to get focused on transcendence. You see. Mind doesn't want to do that. But we have to be strong, we have to be determined to bring that mind into control. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalam astaram. We have to be serious to bring that mind under control. So we require the guidance of guru, of Vaishnavas, who are expert in this science. If we take such guidance, if we take such association, then we can make incredible advancement in consciousness, expansion. We can go beyond those things which were bothering us in life. Those difficulties which made relationships sometimes impossible, you see. Those things can all be overcome. And we can live on enlightened platform of spiritual bliss 24 hours a day in all conditions of health, sickness, youth, old age, poverty, wealth, in any condition. We can live on the transcendental platform. Krishna consciousness. So that's what we're about here. This movement, Hare Krishna movement. It's not a religious cult. This is the essence of religion. We are not another one of the religions on this planet. Religion is one. To reconnect with God. That is religion. Man has divided out this religion, that religion, and now let's fight. My religion is better than your religion. Ha, 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 ha. That's not religion. That's irreligion. Genuine religion means to reconnect with the individual consciousness and the supreme consciousness in love. That is real religion. So we are teaching that science. It is equally applicable to anyone. It's not that you have to convert from one religion to another religion. Simply, whatever you're doing, bring this bhakti yoga science into it. Just like in the US, we have been training one Baptist minister. And he has been introducing these philosophical concepts into his sermons at the Baptist church. Because this science of God is simply wonderful. It's nothing like this Krishna consciousness. This is the pure essence of spirituality. The pure essence of being who you are. It's ecstatic. Simple terms. It is simply ecstatic to be Krishna conscious. So I'm not feeling ecstatic, it means I'm not Krishna conscious, that's all. My consciousness is somewhere else, in the mind, in the body. So if I'm actually Krishna conscious, then I'm vibrant, you see, tasting the sweetest, thrilling nectar at every minute. That is Krishna consciousness. So anyway, Krishna is confirming these points. We do not speak from our imagination. We speak according to the previous acharyas and according to Krishna. Krishna is stating here, Yetu sarvani karmani mayi sanyasya matparaha anen yenaiva yogeno mangyayanta upasate tesha maham samudarta mrityu sangsarasagarat bhavamina charat parta maya veshita chetasam. But those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me and being devoted to me without deviation. Note that, that's very important. Without deviation, very important. Engaged in devotional service and always meditating upon me. Having fixed their minds upon me, O Sanaprita. For them, I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of rhythm. Note the term swift. You don't have to wait 1,000,001 years for deliverance. Actually, such a person becomes immediately delivered. As soon as one achieves bhakti, genuine love for God, automatically you're already liberated from birth and death. Even while situated within your material body, you're already a liberated person. As Srila Prabhupada explained one time in Los Angeles, deathlessness begins at initiation. If one follows strictly the orders of one's guru, then initiation means now you have achieved immortality. You are now immortal. As soon as I make that solid commitment to the path of self-realization by taking shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, yes, I will follow his instruction. At that very moment one achieves immortality. So when Krishna says, I am swift deliverer, it is not hype. It is real. One immediately becomes delivered from birth and death. You may say, but come on, his body is getting... I see the devotees' bodies are getting old, they are dying. No, but it is different. It is different. Prabhupada gives a nice example. The rat and the cat and the kitten. So, the mouth of the cat is the same mouth, but is experienced differently. The kitten, the mother cat, will pick up the kitten by the skin on the back of the neck and give a little ride. The little kitten is so enjoying, meow, meow. Nice ride, mommy is taking me a little ride, you see. But that same mouth of the same cat, when it is being held by a rat, Prabhupada said, ki, 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 means dying. Finished. The same mouth and the same cat, but the experience is completely different. So devotees, they are not dying, you see. They are not dying. They are simply going from this room into the next room. They have already entered into the house of God by surrendering to Krishna and Guru. They have entered into the house of God. Now they are simply going from one room to the next. They're already sheltered in that house of the Lord. But for a materialistic person, death is the greatest fear because they're holding on to all the illusions. I am male, I am female, I am Indian, I am Australian, I'm a member of this family, this is my wife, these are my kids, this is my house, this is my money, this is my reputation, this is my degree. On and on and on and on. They're holding on to it. They don't want to let go, but they're forced to give it up. It's ripped away from them. The Yamadut has ripped them away. You see. It's a very fearful thing. But a devotee gives all that up voluntarily. By hearing from Vaishnava, by hearing from Guru, by hearing from Krishna, he voluntarily gives all those illusions up right now. Let me give that up now. So, we can ask if there's any questions. Yeah. Speak, I'm hard of hearing, so enunciate clearly and loudly.
At the beginning of the class, you were saying, oh, you're giving the situation how somebody could walk up to you and say, would you like to know who you are? I can tell you. And you're saying, no, don't tell me. But how can anyone really tell us who we are when we're all individual? How can anybody really know who we are if we're all individual?
Yes, how can... Well, that knowledge is given in scripture. In the beginning, we generically know who we are. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. What specific role one plays in relation with Krishna, that specific realization, that comes on a highly advanced stage of spiritual enlightenment. But the actual identity of every single living entity, Jivera Sarupa Hoy Krishna Nishidas, is that he or she is the eternal servant of Krishna, of God. So that knowledge is, we are telling everyone, you're the eternal servant of God, that's who you are. That's your real identity. You're the eternal servant of Krishna, of God. So that knowledge, we're giving the whole world. We're distributing these books everywhere. We're holding lectures everywhere. We're going on television, radio, all in through every possible way. We're trying to get the word out to everyone. We already know who everyone is, eternal servant of God. When one becomes purified in practicing devotion at an advanced stage, then one actually realizes specifically one's identity in the spiritual world. But that's a highly advanced stage. That's not necessary. This realizing you're the eternal servant of God, follow the instructions of God, Krishna, and that day will come when you become mature in your understanding of your identity and you realize specifically, exactly who you are. Next question. So that everything is clearly understood. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Yeah. Any other questions? Yes. Again, I'm hard of hearing, so enunciate clearly and loudly. Yes, initiation means just like if I want to get some college degree, I register at the university, formal student. So when one has actually realized that I would like to become spiritually enlightened, then you find out a qualified, just like you go find a qualified university, you find out a qualified teacher. And you say, okay, I want to be your student. I'm going to, put myself under your direction and let you guide me. So it's a matter of developing, making a relationship with the spiritual master, that you want to be a student, you want to take instructions, want to follow his instructions. And, of course, one should take some time. It's described you should take at least 6 months of associating and following a teacher's instruction. You should try it out for a while. It's a very serious commitment to take initiation. You should try following the instructions of a particular teacher you think may be your teacher. Try following his instructions for some time. And by doing so, the Lord within your heart will confirm whether or not this is your actual teacher that you should, you know, become disciple.